Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48, I'm sorry. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. May the Lord bless those who read and obey his word.
Without further, let's invite Pastor to bring forth God's word.
We spend a large part of our waking hours among people, and so if we do not know how to relate with people, especially people who are difficult or so-called our enemies, we will not be happy. So we must know how to relate with our enemies. But we must know how also, because whether God rewards us or God doesn't reward us, one of the criterion is whether we are able to love our enemies or not. So it is important for us to know how we should relate with people who are difficult, people who are antagonistic towards us, or so-called our enemies. And we must love our enemies. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. We look at the text. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This was what was taught by the ancient Jews. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You say, why are they so nasty? They ask people to hate people. Don't be mistaken. Don't misunderstand them. Now, this injunction that they learned to hate your enemy actually came from a group of Jews. For example, people who stayed the Qumran community. The Qumran caves. Are found in Israel, in the wilderness, are found in Israel. So you see the little pockets of caves there. They stay in the caves. And this group of people, they resolved to live separately from the world, to live so-called a holy life, a sanctified life. And they taught people, they were taught to hate the children of darkness. And when we say hate the children of darkness, don't be mistaken, it's not saying that you go and hate people. This hate the children of darkness basically means, in essence, to hate sin, to hate things that are unclean, not right, to hate unrighteousness. So it is actually a good command. But for one reason or another, this command is being misunderstood or being mistranslated, and it became hate your enemies. Because to the Jews, people who do not know God, people who live a bad life, an immoral life, are the rest of the world except the Jews. So, and hence the command, hate your enemy. But that said, hating your enemy is quite natural. You don't have to be taught to hate your enemy. It's quite natural. So this problem is not only the problem with the ancient Jews, it's also our problem. And how do we know that it's quite natural to hate our enemies? The person who often bullies you, who makes life difficult for you, who makes you cry and worry and have sleepless nights, and one day you read in the obituary, this person is dead. What do you say in your heart? I don't know, what do you say? You won't say. You won't say, but you think in your heart. You say, wow, this is good news, man. Finally, he doesn't need to get transferred to another department. I don't need to pray for that. He's removed from the earth. But we don't say that. So what I'm trying to say is this. It's natural in us, in our sinful nature, to detest, to hate people who are who make life difficult for us, hitting our enemies. And we must know how to handle our enemies, because whether God blesses us or not, rewards us or not, does not only depend on our relationship with people, but on our relationship with people who are difficult. We look at the details. Verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So Jesus revolutionized the command and says, no, you don't hate your enemies. In fact, you love your enemies. You pray for those who persecute you. You see, wow, what kind of command is that? Say, Pastor, in church can. But you go out into the world, is impossible. To many of us, it is something that is impossible. As much as we know it's right, but we cannot do it. It's ridiculous. But why must we love our enemies? Why must we listen to the command of Jesus? It is difficult, it's unpleasant, it is almost impossible, but why is it that we must do it? We must love our enemies. And if you remember, we have been studying Matthew chapter 5. We have covered the introductory verses. And these introductory verses, which serves as the preamble, the introduction to the various commands. So we have talked about our enemies, and then last week we talked about people who are difficult, and then the weeks before we talked about how to handle our marriages, adultery, how to handle anger, and so on and so forth, right? So we talk about these various individual commands. But these various individual commands actually have an introduction. And if you want to understand the motivation to obey these individual commands, like loving your enemies, loving those who are difficult, keeping your marriage pure, divorce, etc. If you want to know how to be moved to obey these commands, and you must look at the introduction. Because the introduction tells you some of the important principles. So let us look at the introduction. I've done it last week, but I thought it's important enough for us to just look at them again. Why must we love our enemies? Now, in this introduction, Jesus tells us some reasons. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, the persecuted the prophets who were before you, you say, you know why you love your enemies? Because there's a reward. And this reward is not a reward given to human beings. It's a reward given by heaven, by God himself. It's worth it. And why must you love your enemies? Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It says here, why must you love your enemies? Because only when you love your enemies, then people can see God in you. People can see that, hey, Christianity is real. No. Verse 16, it says here, they may see your good deeds, right? What are these good deeds? These good deeds are not just merely philanthropic good deeds, like giving people money, helping people. These good deeds are actually very specific. These good deeds include, for example, loving your enemies. It's actually defined in the passages that follow, how to handle anger, how to handle divorce, how to handle adultery, how to handle your enemies, people who are difficult. Love your enemies. These are good deeds. So if you want to glorify your Father in heaven, if you hope that people will know Jesus through you, if you say, hey, I want my life to bring people to the Lord. And that's what we're called to do. As I've said oftentimes, that if your life cannot be the salt and the light of the world, Jesus says that you better throw it outside and then let people tread on it and stamp it on you. You know why? It means during olden days in Palestine, people throw rubbish outside. There's no rubbish dim. No saman, don't worry. So it basically means you are rubbish. No, and it's such a sober word. That you are useless. No, that's what the Lord is saying. No? If your life cannot attract people to the Lord, cannot make a difference in the life of another person, encourage the person to follow the Lord, to love the Lord, not simply to encourage people, to encourage people for eternity. Not simply to comfort people, but to comfort people so that they look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called eternal work. It says that if you cannot do that now, then your life, wasted lah, boyong lah, zero value lah. It's such a sober and sober word. So your light must shine before others. Then if your life is going to bring people to the Lord, it is through loving your enemies. Why must you love your enemies? Verse 19. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly, why you love your enemies? Stupid lah. The fellow makes life difficult. You still want to be so kind to him. Hey, I've never seen such a person. I'm trying to help you to defeat your enemy. There you are, you're helping your enemy, You are really unteachable. Teaches people to live accordingly, not to live our enemies. But the converse, the opposite, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you want to go to heaven, and then Jesus says, you are number one. On earth, you must do things that are, unpleasant. Love people who are difficult. Love your enemies. In fact, why must you love your enemies? Verse 3 says, for unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, the religious leaders, or people who set the standard for the Jewish world, people who set the standard for morality in the world. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses, is several notches up, higher than the world, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter heaven. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Cannot go to heaven. Don't be mistaken, as I said last week, I'm not saying, therefore, that you can do good works to enter heaven. You cannot. Come on, our works are not substandard. Not up to mark. Like that, I won't go to heaven. Not up to mark. Cannot. Our good works cannot bring us an inch, a millimeter closer towards heaven. But what Jesus is saying is this, that if you are really headed for heaven, you have eternal life in you, then show it. Show that there's life in you by your behavior. Then I believe you. I believe that you are a Christian. You know how they believe you are a Christian? Visit the brothel, scold vulgar words, and then do all kinds of nonsense, and they say, I'm a Christian. Hard to believe. So, unless your righteousness, and this righteousness is defined as good works, unless the good works that you do, righteousness. This is not talking about righteousness by faith. Certainly, we are saved by righteousness by faith. You are justified by faith, of course. But he's not talking about that aspect. He's talking about your righteousness, your works of your good works. Is higher, several notches higher, rises above the world. If not, you cannot go to heaven. And we must take this seriously. Jesus is serious. Jesus doesn't talk rubbish. When he says, if your works does not surpass that of the world, you're not worthy of heaven. You must be very serious about it. And therefore, loving your enemies, we must take it seriously. Jesus is not a paper tiger. He bites. He will bite. You feel to obey the command. But you see, I cannot do it. After I talk about it, just as a preamble, if you are a Christian, my dear fellow brother and sister in the Lord, don't worry. You depend on God, you walk on the Lord. Although we falter here and there like a graph that goes up and down. Like the Singapore weather, now sunny, afterwards 2 hours later rain like anything. Our spiritual life is like that, up and down. But don't worry, God knows. But you find that the life of a Christian is basically headed towards the direction of holiness. But we falter here and there. We sin, pastor also sins, of course, what? So I'm not talking about that we don't sin. I'm saying that our general direction must be towards holiness. Okay, so we must love our enemies. Who are our enemies? Our enemies are people who oppose you. Our enemies are when you fall and you make mistakes, they say, very good, very good. They rejoice in your calamities. These are called our enemies. And who are our enemies? Are people who persecute you, people who bully you, and in the New Testament times, people who imprison you if you are a Christian, people who kill you if you are a Christian. And these are not theoretical things. 2,000 years ago, it happened many times. 2,000 years later, today, it is still happening in some Buddhist countries, in some communist countries. They imprison you, they kill you. So, It's not a theoretical thing. And Jesus says, these people you must love. These people you must love. It blows the mind, doesn't it? It revolutionizes what is relationship with people. It blows the mind, doesn't it? But that's the mind of Jesus. Jesus says, your righteousness must surpass that of the world of the Pharisees and the scribes of the law. If not, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus' commands are so special. And by the way, many Christians in the New Testament and even today, they obey the command. I have no time to relate this story, but there are stories, many real accounts where, for example, one lady whose father was killed by the Japanese during World War II, but she was moved with the love of God. You know what she did? She went back to the streets of Japan to preach the gospel there. And some amazing conversions there. Documented. People have done it. It can be done. It can be done. So you must love your enemies, people who, your enemies and people who persecute you. You say impossible? Who says impossible? This gentleman in the center, he is a Singaporean. When he was studying in England, he drank wine, got drunk, and his girlfriend was in the car. He drove at top speed, and he met with an accident. The girlfriend died, he didn't die. So the girlfriend died, he didn't die. His name is Nicholas. And he struggled and he wanted to go back to apologize to the parents of his dead girlfriend. And standing by the side is Fernando and Elizabeth, the parents of the dead girlfriend. And when the father knew that Nicholas was about to visit him, Nicholas, the father struggled. See, when he comes, what am I going to say to him? Am I going to beat him up? Beat him to death? Am I going to scold him and with vulgar words? With unpleasant words? So he struggled. Of course, lah, your daughter, no? He struggled. And then he resolved. He said that, Jesus has forgiven my many sins. I will forgive him. And when Nicholas came, Fernando, the father, assured him again and he said, son, I forgive you. I really forgive you. And the mother, Elizabeth, also likewise forgave Nicholas. And this forgiveness was not something by words. It was backed up by real actions. When Nicholas was charged in court, I think he was sentenced to 8 or 9 years in jail. And this, the parents of his dead girlfriend, wrote many letters of appeal to the government of England to reduce the sentence. And the sentence was reduced to 2 years. But in these 2 years, the parents of this dead girlfriend visited him weekly, traveled 100 kilometers to visit him weekly and to assure him again and again, because they know that a person who has done such a thing, who has killed indirectly a girl, will be conscience-stricken and will be carrying a burden that can turn him mad. So they were very kind. They were Christians. They were Christians. And they assured him again. He said, Nicholas, I forgive you. You can be assured. I've really forgiven you. And they backed up their action. And later on, when Nicholas got married, had a child, later on, Nicholas actually had a new relationship with these parents. He acknowledged them as his own parents. And Fernando and Elizabeth also accepted Nicholas as their son. So they said, we lost a daughter, but we won a son. We found a son. And this story moved a lot of people. But this is not the only story. You read the history of Christendom. There are numerous accounts where because of the love of Christ, we forgive our enemies. We love our enemies. Dear Christians, if you have the life of God, you're capable of loving your enemies, difficult though. Someone once rightly said that if someone offends you, makes you angry, sins, makes offense you, and then your friend say, hey, forgive him lah. You know what the offended person party will say? Why must I forgive him? What's your reply? Yeah? Forgive him, why must I forgive him? Right? What reason have you to give? You have no reason to give, no? But Christians are different. We said you must forgive him, and that's what the Bible teaches. Jesus taught a parable. You must forgive him because Jesus also forgave you. And many sins, more grievous sins than the sin, than the offense that he committed against you. We must love our enemies. But how to love our enemies? It's difficult because when you are very angry, you somehow we cannot find direction. I say, love our enemies. How? What do you mean to do? What do you mean to do? Right. What do you mean to do? How? And sometimes our mind is very so plagued with anger and with hatred that we say, love our enemies. How? So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to teach you how to love your enemies. So that you know how to love your enemies. So they can please the Lord. Then the Lord will reward you. Then you can have peace with yourself. I'm going to teach you how to love your enemy. Now this is how you love your enemy. And Jesus tells us in the next verse. How do you love your enemy? The way to love your enemy is the way your Father in heaven loves his enemies. How to love your enemies? Love the way that the Father, God, loved his own enemies. And how did God love his enemies? He says here, he causes his son, and he says, his son, the son belongs to God, his son, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and the good. The evil get to enjoy the warmth of the sun. The good also gets to enjoy the warmth of the sun. He sends rain on the righteous gets to have rain on his harvest field so that he can have wheat, barley to eat, or Chinese have rice to eat. He sends rains on the righteous and also on the unrighteous. So the Father loves the unrighteous like the way he loves the righteous. The Father loves the lovable, unlovable, like the way he loves, the same way that he loves the unlovable. So how do you love your enemies? And this is how you do it. Each time when you are so angry and perplexed, you say, how am I going to love my enemies? You tell me how. You ask yourself this question. If this person, this enemy, is not an enemy, but he's a friend, he's my brother or my sister, what will I do? Do the same, do likewise, and you would have loved your enemy. And if you love your enemies, God will not let you go back empty-handed. Dear Christian, God is no debtor of people. God doesn't owe you people, owe people money. When you do good for God, God will surely reward you. And how does God reward you? What present does he give you? The next verse, verse 45. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. And the reward is this, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That means the gift is you can become God's child. You become God's child. And why this gift? Have you ever wondered? You love your enemies, then the reward you get is to become a child of God. Why this reward? What relationship has it, what is the relationship between loving your enemies and this reward called become a child of God, right? If you do well in your studies, or maybe you have a book voucher, of course, a book has to do your studies, ma, huh? So do well studies, a book voucher, right? So it's compatible, right? Or if you are, I'm just plucking off the air, you are F1 driver, then you drive very well, then they give you free synthetic oil, okay? Right? Must be compatible, right? So why is it that when you love your enemies, the reward is you become a child of God? What has these two things got to do with each other? Okay, and the answer is this. When you love your enemies and you pray for those who persecute you, meaning that you say, God, please bless them, you pray for your enemies, you are actually like your Father. Let me say that again. When you love your enemies and you pray for those who persecute you, you're actually behaving like your father, like God. And like father, like son. Like father, like son. When you love your enemies, it shows that you have your father's DNA. It shows that you have your father's DNA. So if you say, this person is so handsome, and then this son is not so good, okay, so, you cannot be your father's son, because your father's so handsome, you're not so... right? We are like that, huh? Oh, your father is so tall, then you're so short, say, you're probably not your father's son, so your father is real tall, man, you're so short. Okay, like father, like son, that's the idea behind it, right? And that's the meaning. Why is it that when you love and like your enemies? Because it shows that you have your father's DNA. Therefore, you are truly worthy of this reward called you become a child of God. Because your father is like that, he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's how the father behaves. You behave like your father. Therefore, you are truly his son, his daughter. So, each time when the sun rises, each time when the rain falls, you know what? It should remind you? It should remind you to love your enemies. It should remind you to love your enemies. So each time when you see the morning sun, love your enemies. When you see rain coming down, you see? Love your enemies. When you love your enemies, the reward is to become God's children, the children of our Father. And this reward is truly an amazing reward. It's a great reward. It's a great reward because this reward is very special. It is given only to God's children. You must understand that in the ancient times, there are several axioms that govern the people's livelihood, the way they live. So one of the axioms accepted formulas without being proven, okay? You don't need to prove it. Axiom. So there are several axioms in life. And one of them is goods are limited. Good things are limited. So therefore, because good things are limited, the father will only give good things to his own children. So why is this reward so great? Because when you are the child of God, God gives you exclusive rights to very special things that the unbelievers don't get one. Say, sorry, this is not for you. It's only given to God's children. So it's a very special reward. And not only is it a special reward, it's truly a great reward because it comes from heaven. Can you imagine? It comes from heaven. Can you imagine a reward coming down from heaven? Heaven, no? It's a great reward because it's a heavenly reward, the best reward, the best things. So when you love your enemies, you get the best things. It's worth it. I know the sacrifice you have to make to love your enemies is great, but the rewards are greater. It dwarfs easily. It dwarfs. It fractionalizes. The price you have to pay for loving your enemies, it fractionalizes it. It dwarfs it. It's worth it. Therefore, dear friends, love your enemies. Unpleasant, but do so. Why must you love your enemies? Verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Verse 47. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Verses 46 to 47 actually comprises two paragraphs. Each paragraph has three sentences. Let me rearrange it so that you can understand the structure of this passage better. Okay? Let me give you a structure. This is a structure. So verse 46 is one paragraph, verse 47 is one paragraph, and verse 46 has three sentences, and verse 47 also has three similar sentences. Synonymous is a triplet, okay? So it's a triplet. You know, twins, right? Twins, you have triplets. This is a triplet, okay? It's a twin, and inside the twin, each is a twin, and each inside each, they are triplets. Why must you love your enemies? Verse 46. If you love those who love you, you are good only to those who are good to you. What reward will you get? Means no reward lah. You know why no reward? Say, hey, I also love people. You see, I'm so good to my friend. You see, I'm so good to my parents. You see, I'm very filial. Hey, my neighbor is not filial, no? I'm very filial, no? I take care of my parents. So do you get a reward for them? Do you get a reward for that? No. Jesus says, no reward. Because if you love only those who love you, you are kind to your parents, you don't get a reward. Why? Verse 3. The third sentence. Why is it that you get no reward? The third sentence in verse 46. Point 3 in verse 46. Because are not even the tax collectors doing that? Who are the tax collectors? The tax collectors are people who collect more money than what is lawful. Because what they do is this, they collect a certain amount, and then part of the amount, they bring it up to give to the senates, to the government officials, and then to the emperor. And then the rest of the money is their salary. So therefore, the more money you collect from the people, the higher your salary is. That's the idea behind it. During those times, they don't have paychecks. Month end, and then the emperor gives off money. No. Immediately, they get they collect their own salary. That's the idea. So the more you collect from the people, the higher your salary is. That's the idea behind it. Now, so people are living at subsistence level. Means they live from day to day. They barely have enough for tomorrow. They don't extra one. And these tax collectors, their own people, Jews, Tongbao, countrymen. They bully bully fellow Jews. So these fellow Jews really hate them. Say, tax collectors, sinners. Go to hell one, definitely. Now, and that's the point. These tax collectors, do they love people? They do. But they love only those who love them. And you know that are these collectors, so therefore, just because they love those people who love them, you say, wow, they're very good, they're good in heaven, God will reward them. No, right? Because you know that they're very evil. They are definitely not, they will not be rewarded by God. Go to hell, definitely not rewarded by God, right? So, you all agree that they will not receive a reward because they are tax collectors, terrible sinners. And therefore, if you do only what the tax collectors do, love only those who love you, you also get no reward. Because what you do is nothing special. Verse 46, 47. And if you greet only your own people, you greet with the purpose of wishing peace and blessing, because the people believe that when a child of God wishes peace and blessing to another child of God, God will bless them. So they say, they wish, they bless it, may the Lord bless you, okay? And they believe that because of their desire to bless, God will hear their prayer. God will hear their prayer and bless those they bless. So if you greet only your own people, wish them peace and blessing, what are you doing more than others? Is it anything special? It's nothing special. Do you want nothing special? Nothing special with regards to obtaining a reward. Special in the sense that it will win you a reward. Because if you compare the second sentence of verse 47 with the second sentence of verse 46, because they are similar, right? Remember, they are triplets. So if you want to know the meaning of sentence 2 in verse 47, you can look at sentence 2 of verse 46. That's the idea behind it. Because they are abang adik, yeah? So it is with regards, nothing special, what you are doing more than others, meaning that what you are doing more than others in order to receive a reward. See, no reward for you. Why? Because do not even pagans do that. Pagans, the Jews are very nasty. They're one of a kind. To them, the world has two types of people. One, Jews. And the other one, the rest of the world. So Gentiles. We Jews, you all dirty. And that's how they look at the world. So we are Jews, very clean, very good. Blessed by God. You all going to hell. No need to say that. So pagans, that's how they look at pagans. So in other words, to a Jew, pagans are people of the lowest morals. They are going to hell. They are not going to be rewarded by God. No way. Why? Because they are pagans. So, and what do pagans do? Pagans also greet their own people. So, just because they greet their own people, are they going to be rewarded by God? Jesus says, no. You all know they won't be rewarded by God because they are pagans. They are people of the lowest morals. You yourself say that they weren't. Understood. So therefore, you, if you only greet those those who bless you, you also will not receive a reward. Because you have done nothing outstanding, deserving of reward from God. And that's why if you love those who owe you, if you only love those who love you, God will not reward you because there's nothing special. Because your righteousness, as Jesus says in the introductory verses, must arise above the scribes and the Pharisees, the standards of the world. If not good enough. He concludes in verse 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So how must you behave? You must be like your heavenly Father. And when you behave like your heavenly Father, you show yourself to be deserving of the reward called being a child of God. You show that you are indeed a child of God. So you must act like God. You must act like God. Then you receive the reward called children of God. But how do you act like God? Then you really act like God? You must be perfect. You must be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your Father, Heavenly Father is perfect. But what's the meaning of perfect? Now, perfect doesn't mean sinless. Of course not. Pastor also sins. The Lord is very kind to us. He knows that we are made of dust. We sin. But the Lord is very gracious and kind. He always gives us chance. He always pull, when He works us, He pulls back punches. Because He's kind. When He works us, He works us with a cane, but it's called sugar cane. God is very kind. He canes us with sugar cane. Very kind, right? Cane you after that, I'll give you sugar to eat. buy you an ice cream to eat. To encourage you, to comfort you. That's our Father. Our Father is like that. Always give chance. So don't be afraid if you land into the judgment of God. Your Father will be very kind to you. But you must be perfect. What do you mean perfect? Perfect does not mean sinless. Perfect means what we have been talking about. The preceding context. What have we been talking about? Love your enemies, right? That's the meaning of perfect. Perfect doesn't mean flawless, no impeccable, sinless, no zero, no. It means what we've been talking about in the earlier context. We've been talking about love your enemies. That's the meaning of perfect. Love the unrighteous. Be perfect. Then you show that you are truly God's a child of the Father, and God rewards you. God remembers, God notices. The enemy may have made life difficult for you, made you very angry, very sad. Yes. Indeed, that person has hurt you very deeply. You see, it's so painful. But your Father knows. But if you repay kindness for evil, God, you will not lose your reward. You will definitely be rewarded by God. I want to speak to our friends who are non-Christians. Dear non-Christian friend, do you know that God loves you very much? Do you know that God loves you very much? And God's love is amazing. God's love is amazing. You know why it's amazing? You know why it's so great? It blows the mind. You know why? You know why God's love is so amazing? We are looking at Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but let me just tell you what Paul said earlier. If a person who's righteous obeys the law or never breaks the law, no demerit points in driving, whatever the government requires, the person will do, obeys the law abiding, a righteous person. And if that person is in trouble, will you die for him? Will you die for a righteous person? He said, no lah, a righteous person only. Die for him? No lah, won't lah. Okay, all right, you won't die for a righteous person. Then let's say if there's a person who's very good, very kind, always giving money, helping people, comforting people, making sacrifices, time to help the person, to help your neighbor. Now, if that person is in trouble, will you die for this good person? You see, maybe. Maybe lah. But to be honest, probably won't. But maybe lah. Got chance lah. Now, but if the person is a murderer, hurts you, killed your sister, will you die for that person? You say, no way lah, mad lah, right? Enemy, you know? Sinner, you know? Die for him, no way lah. And that's what God does. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, we made God very angry. We were enemies of God. Christ died for you, died for us. That's why the love of God is so amazing. God, Christ loving a dirty, a person who's destined for hell, a person who has made him so angry, so sad, grieve him often, yet God loves us. It's amazing, isn't it? That's why God's love is so amazing. It's so great. Say, God, how could you love people like a person like me? I look at myself, I know I'm a horrible person. And I mean it. I'm a horrible person. Pastor Andrew Tan. Don't laugh at me. Same about you. We're all sinners, but God loves us. God moves uses His Holy Spirit, moves us, attracts us, so that we hear the gospel and we respond. And then He gives us eternal life and we experience it. We experience eternal life. A new life, peace, strength, wisdom, a new start in life, a new lease of life. All of you experience it. Because you are good? No. But because you're undeserving, in fact. But the Lord loves us. And that's why the love of God is so great. Dear non-Christian friend, if you're not Christian, life is a very difficult race. I urge you, come to Jesus today. Jesus stretches forth His kind hands to you. He said, come and follow me. Come and believe in me. Will you reach out for His hand and grasp His hand? Will you reach out for Jesus? Jesus is reaching out to you. Come to me. I will bless you. We have sinned against God. Our relationship with God is broken. But Jesus, when He died on the cross, when you believe in Him, He washes away every stain and makes you clean inside out. You become a new person and you get to enjoy real peace, cleanness. You breathe fresh air, increased oxygen. You get to enjoy eternal life now into eternity. Will you come to Jesus today? Our sinful nature will cause us to hate our enemies as natural, but Christians must be different. See, why that person can hate? Why must I love? You know why you must love your enemies or not? Because you're a child of God. If you're not a child of God, no need. But you're a child of God. You're supposed to be different. We must love our enemies, and we must pray for our enemies too, that the Lord will bless him. How do we love our enemies? You say, how? What must I do? We love him the way God loves us. We look at him and say that, imagine he's my friend. What will I do? This is what you should do. Why must we love? Because loving our enemies shows that we have God's DNA. We resemble God. And therefore, hence, we are truly God's children. And when we are God's child, God will give us the best gifts. Gifts from heaven. Gifts from heaven. That's the meaning of our Heavenly Father gives us gifts. Our Father in heaven gives us gifts, means He gives us gifts from heaven. That's the meaning. If you love only those who love you, you are no better than a great sinner. They also love those who love them. And all agree that such a great sinner will not be rewarded by God. So if you love only those who love you, there's no reward for you. You are nothing special. If you want to be rewarded by God, you must be as perfect as your Heavenly Father. And what do you mean by perfect? Not sinless. It does not mean that. It's out of context. It means loving your enemies, be kind to the unrighteous. As we start a new week, tomorrow you are going back to see that ugly person. That person is going to hound you. That person is going to make life difficult for you for tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesdays. What are you going to do? Difficult? Miserable? Yeah. It's very difficult. You say, I just pray that God will take him out. Dear Christian, let me tell you something. God brings people into our life. It's never by chance. You understand or not? When a difficult person is in your life, it's not because you're suay, you know, you're lucky. You know. No, it's never by chance. It comes from the wonderful, amazing arrangement of God. The economy of God is never by chance. There's a lesson to learn. Not because you did wrong. Don't be mistaken. It's not because you sin against God. That's how God brings this person to punish you. May not be. Probably not. I don't know. But don't think like that. There are lessons to learn. Learn the lesson well. Then when the time comes, sometimes either God gives you the strength to sustain, to take his knocks from him, or God removes that person from your life. But love your enemies so that you'll be rewarded by God. Then life will be not only bearable, because you are rewarded by God. Life will be more than bearable. There'll be joy. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Lord, there are difficult people in our life, and sometimes it really makes us very sad. It makes us dread going back to work, dread going back to school, dread seeing that person. Oh, Lord, we ask for mercy. We ask for grace. But, Lord, we thank you that because we are a child of God, you have given us eternal life, and this life is overpowering. You've empowered us with eternal life so that we are able to forgive, to love. Oh, Lord, give us grace to love. And when we have done all that, unworthy though we are, but you are very kind. You promise us you will reward us. Great rewards, heavenly gifts, a child of God. Lord, bless our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.